This is Father Benjamin Roberts with Bridegroom Preacher. Hello, and welcome to the podcast. Fathers, I really appreciate your continued participation. We've covered a lot together. In the last episode, we looked at the seven characteristics of the nuptial hermeneutic, or vision of preaching. In the remaining episodes, we will look at four components of preaching. These four components are the assembly, the preacher, the homily, and the homiletical method, which is how we prepare homilies. The 1982 U.S. Bishop's Document on Preaching, Fulfilled in Your Hearing, used these four components in its presentation of the Sunday homily and provides a helpful organization for our examination. So we begin with the assembly. The assembly is the preacher's relational partner in the preaching act. The assembly is the bride. The nuptial hermeneutic influences the preacher's approach to, engagement with, and expectation of the assembly. In this episode, the theological significance of the assembly as bride will be reviewed, and the homiletical disciplines of and the homiletical discipline of congregational exegesis. In the next episode, we'll look at reader or listener response criticism and the womanist perspective and how those influence our knowledge and appreciation of the bride. In the nuptial vision of preaching, the preacher approaches the assembly recognizing that, quote, she is his equal and an heir to the life of grace, to borrow from the first nuptial blessing. Viewed as an equal and as a relational partner, the assembly is the recipient of the preacher's love, devotion, affection, and work. The bridal assembly enjoys the freedom to accept or reject the gift of preaching offered by the preacher, and therefore possesses a determining disposition in regard to the fruitfulness of preaching. The active receptivity of the bridal assembly is initiated and strengthened through a supportive spirituality in a stable pastoral relationship. In the nuptial vision of preaching, the preacher approaches the assembly with a spirit of reverence, a willingness to sacrifice and suffer, a desire to repair and restore, and with a view to resurrection and eternal life. The preacher approaches the bridal assembly with the same characteristics as the marital spirituality of tenderness we explored a few episodes ago. The tender approach of the preacher recognizes the dignity of the assembly, respects the relational reciprocity, honors the fruitful potential, and supports the stability of the union between the preacher and the assembly. The nuptial hermeneutic for preaching impacts how the preacher engages the assembly. Approached with tenderness, the preacher appreciates the complexities and the unique identity of a bridal assembly. Our brief theological analysis explored a moment ago notes the general characteristics of every assembly of the baptized. The section on the preacher's engagement examines the various aspects of a particular assembly. Congregational exegesis, reader or listener response criticism, and the womanist perspective assist us in this examination. And so when viewed through the lens of the nuptial hermeneutic, these three homiletical disciplines transpose into the nuptial categories of knowing the bride, honoring the bride, and caring for the bride. In this episode, we will look at knowing the bride. The practice of congregational exegesis seeks to carefully examine the nature, complexity, and qualities of the assembly. In her book, Preaching as Local Theology and Folk Art, Lenora Tubbs Tisdale proposes an interdisciplinary method for careful congregational exegesis. Her approach begins with the notion that a congregation can be examined as an anthropological subculture. In this method, the preacher utilizes the discipline of ethnography, which identifies and analyzes important symbols in the community. The preacher is something of a participant observer within the congregational subculture, meaning that the preacher shares in the life and activities of the community. Now, the first step of exegesis in this model seeks the identification and investigation of symbols in the culture. Tisdale proposes five guidelines for this process. The first is to determine the, quote, texts that hold significant symbolic value in the community. These would be artifacts, written documents, often repeated stories, observances, controversies, and celebrations are examples of such texts when we look around a congregation. The second guideline is to investigate the multiple forms in which the congregational texts appear. These include hymnody, ritual, historical markers, liturgical vessels, investments, and architecture. The third and fourth of Tisdale's guidelines encourage diligence in exegesis when contradictory or dissonant symbols are uncovered, or the depth of complexity within congregational symbols appear. The last guideline for identification and investigation of symbols in a culture recommends attention to those texts which indicate social change, conflict and resolution, and liminal events in the life of the community. These five guidelines enable the preacher to discover the textual symbols which the bridal assembly values. Applying these five guidelines, Lenora Tubbs Tisdale enumerates seven symbols for congregational exegesis. The first of these symbols focuses on interviews and stories provided by members of the congregation. These can offer both eyewitness testimony and hearsay regarding the history and life of the congregation. A second symbol is archival materials. These include historical documents, financial and sacramental records, minutes from councils and committees, official reports, and parish histories. The third symbol is a demographic analysis. This provides a current picture of the makeup of the congregation utilizing several characteristics. And of particular importance is the change in congregational demographics narrated by stories and interviews and documented by archival materials. These first three symbols provide the foundations of congregational exegesis, while the remaining four symbols could be viewed through the window of celebration. Now, the four symbols of celebration proposed by Tisdale include visual arts and architecture, rituals, activities, and events, and the people who are honored or whose names and voices are avoided in the community. Where the community celebrates, how they celebrate, what they celebrate, and whom they celebrate are illuminated through these four congregational symbols. The celebratory window allows the history, contemporary reality, and future hopes of the congregation to be recognized and examined. Now, in addition to the symbolic analysis, Tisdale notes the importance of a theological analysis of the congregation. She proposes six broad categories to facilitate this analysis: their view of God, their view of humanity, view of nature, view of time, view of the church, view of Christian mission, and the interrelationships of the other categories, basically all of the categories of systematic theology. The congregational view of God includes the theological disciplines of theology, Christology, and pneumatology. Primarily, the congregational vantage is demonstrated on the continuum between the immanence and the transcendence of God. These views are exemplified in its hymnody, ritual, celebration, and popular piety. Additionally, these views impact the recognition of miracles, the role of intercessory prayer, and the relationship between justice and mercy. The theological anthropology of the congregation reflects its understanding of the human person. This is demonstrated through the principal descriptions of identity. For example, in the congregational analysis, is a person primarily a beloved child of God, or a sinner in need of redemption? What's the primary view? Because while both descriptions are theologically accurate, the more prominent description used within the congregation reflects its understanding and impacts its ministry. The congregational views on creation and time reflects its relationship to nature and history. If the world is viewed as something passing away and the consummation of history is more approximate, more immediate, then care for creation and efforts to create a more just society will be lower priorities. On the other hand, if the goodness of creation is valued and the presence of the reign of God can be experienced in some manner now, then both ecological and social justice find space in the ministry of the congregation. Ecclesiology and mission concern the internal and external relationships of the community. The understanding of the church can be seen in the metaphors employed by the congregation: body, bride, communion, sacrament, pilgrim people, sanctuary, hospital, and many others are metaphorical understandings that impact the understanding of mission. The understanding of mission is often manifest in the programs and the budget of the community. These various theological viewpoints interrelate to form the theological identity of the congregation. In the nuptial vision, these reflect the deeply held beliefs and convictions of the bride, and must be respected and honored, even though they may be challenged by the preaching of the bridegroom. Even though we may challenge some of their theological viewpoints, we must honor them first. The discipline of congregational exegesis, presented by Lenora Tubbs Tisdale, offers a method for the symbolic and theological analysis of the congregation. Utilizing these counsels provides the nuptial hermeneutic with an effective and reverent way of knowing the bridal assembly. Knowing the complexity of the assembly, the bridegroom preacher is better equipped to show her honor. And that's where we'll pick up in the next episode. Now, fathers, just a few words about congregational exegesis and the very in-depth methods proposed by Lenora Tubbs Tisdale. We would not do this kind of congregational exegesis every week or even every year. What she gives us are tools to know a new or relatively new congregation and to deepen our relationship with the community that we've served for some time. She gives us a few questions to ask and a few places to look when we want to know the bride better. Until next time, fathers, God bless.